Amen. Father God, you're an awesome God. I just love you, Lord, and I know everybody here does too. Praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. Sometimes it hurts, Lord, but it's worth it. We praise you, Father, for bringing us through these trials and things that make a better woman and man out of us. And I thank you, Father, that when we get through all of these things, we're going to be able to disciple a bunch of people. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Father, for showing us the things that are to come. I ask, Father, that you continue to do so through your dreamers and visionaries and all of those wonderful prophetic things that you do for us, Father, to warn us and keep us on track. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, I ask and I pray that tonight will be a blessing to everybody, that we would be able to root out doubt and unbelief in amongst us. Doubt and unbelief does not belong in a Christian that's walking like we do. And I praise you, Father, that it is going, and it is gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Doubt and unbelief is gone. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful weather and all the beautiful gardens that everybody's got and bringing all the produce forward. Lord, let it be a supernatural blessing for everybody that has it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for them wonderful fat red tomatoes too. Glory to God. They're awesome. And I thank you, Father, for making that goes with them. Amen. All right, Lord, we just thank you that tonight, all our prayers will be answered because we have an open heaven directly to the throne. And I praise you, Father, for that. We got a bunch of angels with us too, Lord. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to put them to work tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I do. I just want to praise God for setting the captives free. Those that have been in bondage are against UVM. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you bless them with freedom. I break the bonds of Satan off of them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for clarity of thought in them, that they wouldn't think the things that the enemy wants them to think, that they would think clearly. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that they're all going home in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for destroying the enemy's camp, even as we speak, Lord. Every vestige of it, Lord, be destroyed in Jesus. No enemy left, Lord, and I thank you for it. And those that are yours, Lord, I ask that you bring them back in Jesus' name. Humbled, with clarity of thought. And Lord, I thank you for it. Jesus, better than they were when they left. A whole lot better. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Victory's ours. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. It is. It's ours. Praise God forevermore. Anybody got anything that they want to add or got something they want to pray for? Yeah, Pat.
Father, I just want to join in with that prayer with Michael. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're bringing us into now, revealing truths that have been hidden, that you have brought to light and are bringing to light even now. Lord, strengthen us, grant us grace to walk in the ways that you're bringing into our lives and to follow the word where it leads us. And we thank you for that. Father, we just ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to receive all that you would lead us into and bring us into, expand our awareness and strengthen our faith. We thank you that you have eliminated doubt and unbelief. It is in the pit. It is gone. We do not accept it. We do not receive any doubts, any accusations, any lies. All these are gone. They fall off of us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection in Christ, that perfect place in Christ that you've placed us, Lord. We just praise you that you have brought us in to your temple, Lord. You have built your temple within us, a temple made without hands, but with your word. And we thank you for that. Just fill us and be pleased to inhabit us in all of our ways, in all of your ways within us, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for taking us through all of these struggles, Lord, that we go through in our daily lives, for your weeding out and bringing out of us that which hinders us from walking 100% in your life and in your grace. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We love you, Lord, and we just ask you to open up our hearts and expand our hearts to love you even more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Lord, I hook my faith up with Pat and I receive it and I believe it, Lord. I thank you. Everything that he prayed is coming to pass, even as we speak. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forevermore. And anybody else? I got a testimony. I'm talking about a testimony. Y'all want to hear about a testimony? I have a testimony. I have a grandson, Blake, you've heard me talk about him, that was looking at 30 years in prison for various and sundrious things that he has done in the past, and it's all caught up with him. So I prayed, and I prayed with some friends, and I prayed with family members. And we all agreed we was going to see a miracle. He got before the judge. And the judge told him, he said, I'll tell you what, Blake. If you can pass the drug test, you'll be on probation. He said, I'll do it. Where's it at? He said, yes, sir, I can do it. You just get me the drug test. We'll take it right now. And he did. He passed it, and he's on probation. I don't know how long. I was just so elated that he didn't have to go to prison for ever how long. Praise God. Yeah, Lord, I told him, I said, this is a chance for you to get back with the Lord because he just gave you a second chance, son. So we'll see. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. That's an awesome awesome time with the Lord. All right. Anybody else? That's awesome. Anybody else got a prayer or testimony or a song? I have a song. Yes, amen. Yeah, Geneva, Morgan, Mika.
Yeah, that's all of us. I just, a few things. Me and Marissa, we have this friend who we grew up with. I would say her family is very, very much so liberal, and she's kind of grown up that way. And I would almost even say, I don't even know if she really believes in God, but she's actually been one of our close friends all throughout growing up, just because we all grew up on the same street, and she was just a buddy of ours forever. Anyways, she knows that me and Marissa have always, you know, loved the Lord and prayed and believed and things like that. Well, she sent us randomly out of the blue, sent me a message and said, "Hey, will you pray for my ear? Because my eardrum is busted and all I hear is ringing." And that right there to me was pretty special, that she wanted me to pray for her. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard her ask for anything like that. So I text Marissa, and me and Marissa sent her a prayer, and me and Marissa came in agreement. And she just texted us. This is like 2 days later, just texted us and said it completely stopped. And this is after she went to like 3 or 4 different doctors, and she said none of them did anything for her. And she said that one of them even tried to give her anxiety meds because they thought she was being a little bit over the top. And so she said that after we prayed, she said it went away. And, yeah, that's awesome. So I just so thankful. And, you know, I'm praying that she'll continue to come to us for more things and then want to experience this truth for herself. So I've always had a good feeling in my heart for her. You know, just kind of a patience thing, I guess, yeah. But, just really thankful. But anyways, and then also too, I just wanted, prayer, if you all agree with me. Me and Morgan are having issues with the Kia again. So he's trying to figure out what to do about it, and just, I guess, wisdom, and just kind of financially right now, you know, with us getting this new place and stuff, and just with the car and stuff, we're kind of, it's just kind of asking for the Lord to help us make some smart decisions and to just kind of know what to do here. So, Lord, I just come to you, Father, and I thank you for what you did for Mary Jo. And I thank you for what you did for us getting this house, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for just blessing us and blessing the ministry, Lord, and being with all the brethren. And, Father, I thank you, God, that you're going to bless my husband with your wisdom to show him how to go about the car situation. Lord, you've helped him fix it before, and I know you can do it again. And Lord, I just ask that you bless me to be at peace, and that no worry or anxiety try to come over me in the name of Jesus, because I'm at peace, because I know that you're in my husband and you're going to bless him to make the right choice and the right decision. And, Father, I know you're going to, bless us with this trial. You've done it before, and just look back at the things that you've already done, Father, and, gives us faith for what's to come. And we just love you, Lord, and, help me, Father, to, just be supportive and to encourage him and to be a godly wife. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you and just go ahead and fix it. I'm just going to believe that you're going to fix it and they're not going to find anything wrong with it. And I praise you, Father, for doing it, because when you fix something, it don't need to be fixed again. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Keep me healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right,
Ben. Yeah. All right, Ben, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody.
Howdy.
So I'm just going to make a little bit of a confession here. That there have been, like spirits of doubt and rejection in my mind right now this past week. The week before, I finished a fast, and I was praying like so good. And then like just this week, it's been like been falling to temptations, and all of these other spirits are coming upon me. And like, I wasn't watching YouTube. Now I'm getting back into my old habits, and it's bad, and I'm looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at, and just all across the board, I haven't been a very good example of the Christ that is within me. And so I'm confessing that to the brethren, because I've confessed it to God, and you know, I don't want to put a picture of saying, I'm like, yeah, I'm following Christ and I'm not physically doing that, but I confessed to God and I've repented of my ways. And I'm tired of it.
Amen. Father, we thank you for Benjamin and his confession here, Lord. You said if we confess our sin, you're sanctified from that point on. You are sanctified by faith in the Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Father, for putting bold faith in him now. From this point on, I command condemnation to go from him. I command shame to go from him. All of those things and to go from him right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for his heart for you, Lord. He's got a real heart for you, Father, and I thank you for it. Lord, I ask that you lift him up and bring him in a mighty, wonderful way in Jesus' name. He does not lack Christ anymore. He is in Christ. Christ is in him. He is the branch off the vine, and the vine is putting in him everything he needs, everything that Jesus has in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for my brother Ben. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Okay, and Father, we also just bind up and cast out that spirit of rejection and spirit of failure.
Amen.
On our beloved brother. We cast that down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, praise God. You know, we have your word. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. So that's paid in full. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's covered with the blood. That's paid in full. He bore the chastisement of our peace. That's paid in full. And by stripes we were healed. So that's paid in full as well. Everything that he has confessed, Father, praise God. We just thank you. We just thank you and praise you, Father. It's all paid in full. It's all covered in the blood. And we thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. You have washed us white. Thank you, Jesus. You have changed our lives. You brought us from darkness into glorious life. And glorious light. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the victory here for our beloved brother, that he's just set free, and that he's just gonna just feel such relief because all those burdens were lifted off of him, and all that darkness and weariness and heaviness. And Father, just pray for him and all of us. Lord, just fill us up. Fill us up. Give us that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in us. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, David, go ahead.
Just want to add just a couple things. Lord, we just come against these spirits of disappointment and all this oppression off of Ben. You go in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we bind that spirit of distraction. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for quickening our brother here, Lord, that he will be discerning of these thoughts and not accept anything. And he'll be able to have the strength by the power of your love for him and the Holy Spirit within him. Lord, he can say no to those things, and that you will always lead him from temptation when we pray for that. So we pray for that for Ben and for all of us, Lord. Lead us away from all these temptations, Lord, that we follow you and we continue to seek your face. I thank you, Lord, you've already got him lifted up out of this darkness, Father. And it's all cleared away. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless our brother. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. It is done. All right. Go ahead, David.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
I'd like to share something that would help in this situation. It's something that happened to me recently. And, I mean, falling away is never an easy thing. I mean, it even got to the point where I was about to call it quits and infection out. I was very close. I mean, messages were typed up and it was just about to hit send and be done. But you know, that's when God stepped in. You know, you always hear about the fear of the Lord. You always hear about people experiencing fear of the Lord. But I tell you what, whenever I've experienced that feeling in my physical body, that fear of the Lord stepped in and he was like, did you think you could get away with that? Like, if you came and stood before the throne, before God, what do you think he's going to say? Oh, you good servant, you could keep going? And the fear, and it wasn't just fear of man. It was such fear. It sent heat through my body. I was laying in bed. I was tossing and turning. I couldn't get comfortable. My feet were cold. My body felt hot. And that was the first time I experienced in my physical body the fear of the Lord. And I knew at that moment, I was like, Lord, it's got to come out. And then right before that experience, I heard the words, only the truth could set you free. But I was like, no, I can't confess that, you know, and then the fear of the Lord grabbed a hold of me. I was looking over my shoulder all evening, all night, and all morning, thinking that someone was out gonna get me. But I knew that was the Lord. He was trying to get me, but I was afraid of him. I couldn't stand and turn towards him and ask him for forgiveness. And that's when I ran. I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I ran. I clocked out of work in the middle of my work, and I just drove up to Michael's and David's. And I was like, I got to get it out. And I broke down, and I was like, it's got to come out. It's like, this can't be going on anymore. And all that built up from a little lie being pushed away, and it kept growing and growing. Lies don't go away. The more you push it off and lie about it, the bigger it's growing. And then until you create this monster in front of you that you don't know how to handle anymore. But it is very important to come clean right away and not have this burden just build up on your back. Just get rid of it right away. And it's way lighter on your shoulders. You don't have this weight. And after experiencing that fear, I don't even know how to put in words. I don't think I could put in words or describe the feeling, but it put such a fear in me that I don't even want to glance at sin. I don't even want to think about it anymore. It put that kind of fear in me where I was like, no, I can't. No, I will never go back to that. There's no way I want to get back into that. I was like, I'm done with it. That's the past, and I'm done. Well, thank you, Lord, for the grace, for his forgiveness. And sometimes he has to chasten us beyond what we think. But that's for the greater. There's something better that he wants for us. He doesn't want us to live in condemnation. He wants us to get out because it's so nice dwelling in his presence. Just staying there. There's peace. There's happiness. There's never-ending joy there. And I thank the Lord that he grants us repentance just so we could dwell with him. so we could sit beside him and listen to his voice, just like his disciples did. They sat around him and listened to him, and we need to do the same, is get in his presence and stay there. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Father, to bring us back in to where we want to sit at your feet again. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for filling David up with your Holy Spirit also, with joy and peace and rest in him. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. All right, thank you, David. Go ahead, Louise or William.
Hello, guys. How are you?
How are you, Michael?
I'm blessed, brother. How you doing?
Well, I'm pleased to report that Afoji has returned to the house. We had to move the phone 30 centimeters higher and more to the left side, surprisingly. But it's back, so no more going up the hill or a mountain. We are debating if it's a hill or a mountain at the moment, not to make it more dramatic. But we're thinking it is a mountain. No, I'm just glad. It's a bit of like to praise the Lord before, even 5 minutes before the meeting, there was no reception. And you just have to stand in faith and praise the Lord and say, there's reception there. There'll be a reception, and thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
What I just wanted to say about, for me, one of the comforting things that I heard from David was on the teaching perfection through Christ, and he was speaking about how we need the blood covering for ignorance and failure, and not to extend it or push it to like he, what was he used a good term for it? He's like some people stretch it to just remain in their sins, but for ignorance and failure, you're under the blood. And I actually emailed David once asking him about a few sins if it's under the blood, and I was surprised to hear that I wasn't in willful sin. It was just a sin that was going to take some time. And also in one of his teachings, he said, some things are going to take time. And it was not to make someone, you know, slack on it, you know, but just, it keeps you going. You don't give up if you hear, well, this is going to be bigger. There's more to it, you know. And it ended up being so much to it, you know. There was so much underlying things that first had to come out before I could even deal with the problem. So it just had to be patient with it and not give in. And it every year it just gets better. I'm just sort of be careful not to be in willful sin about it, but just fight it as hard as I can in faith, you know, giving up. Yeah, it was comforting when David in one of his teachings said, this is going to take time. It's going to take time. And it was like, okay, it's going to take time. And it did take some time. So that's all I think I wanted to share about it. At this stage, I'm just at, you know, when it hits, I need to just get up and praise the Lord that it's done and dealt with. And sometimes I don't, it's just more a confession as well. I don't, sometimes I'm too tired or lazy to just get up and praise the Lord that he did overcome it. At the cross, and that it's dealt with. I just ask the Lord for, I just want to pray. Lord, thank you. And I just ask you and confess that I can fight it harder, but not in the flesh. Oh yeah, there was something else. Every time I like went back to the Lord, he would tell me, you're in own strength. That's why you're failing. And then just confess works and not to give in, you know. Like you said, that spirit of failure. That spirit of failure should not overtake one. Lord, I just confess. Thank you that I was not in willful disobedience. I just ask the Lord also just keep me out of willful disobedience. And the Lord has honored that prayer for me. And just to be at peace that I've asked him to keep me out of willful disobedience and that he will do it for me. Lord, thank you. And I just ask you to give me the strength to, even in hard times, it's like easy in a good day, you know, but when it gets rough, it's hard to just get up and praise you, Lord, and say thank you that this is over and this is done with. And Lord, I just ask you for the victory. And yeah, I just like also to just to deal with some things that's been taking some time. If you can just give me the victory, Lord, I'll appreciate that. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys and girls that are also waiting on you, Lord. And yeah, thank you, Lord, for the victory, that it's a finished work, that we have been crucified. It's finished. And help us to just manifest that more and more. Thank you, Lord, for your blood covering, which is essential for failure and ignorance. And thank you for, yeah, we are babies, Lord, and we crawl and then we walk and then we run. Thank you for that parable. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Will. Yeah, you got a good signal tonight. It's awesome. Best I've heard in a long time from y'all. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yes, we're going to be talking a little bit about faith tonight. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to rerun another song, this song that I like so much because it's full of faith. And it's called, can anybody guess, Speak to the Mountain. Glory to God. Okay, let's get her done. Let's see here.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I to the mountains. Oh, it's time.
cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than me. My enemies scatter, cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day.
That's a good song. I love that song. The Word of God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Will.
I just wanted to, since it's about faith, it's like I've heard twice in the latest teachings of David that if you want to make it through not factioning out, you have to have that boldness in the throne room. And not have condemnation. So I just wanted to add it in. Hopefully it's applicable.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. I tell you what, let's do. Y'all still got your Sovereign God books? Get your Sovereign God books, and we're going to skip forward a little bit. We're going to skip forward to chapter 12. We're going to try to get through this book tonight. I'm just kidding. But I did want to go over this with you. Chapter 12, Vessels of Dominion Through Faith. You know what the biggest problem that the Lord told us was wrong with, the biggest problem with the fellowship is? Not just the local, but the outreach both. Doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. You can't be a disciple and be in doubt and unbelief. You have to be in, you know what a disciple is? Everybody knows what it is. A disciple is somebody, it's a learner and a follower, but is also a teacher, teaching somebody else how to disciple. That's what we as Christians do. We learn to walk as Jesus walked, and our job then is to teach whomever you bring into the kingdom how to walk as Jesus walked. So that means you have to change, we have to change our mind. And how does the word say we change our mind? With the word of God. Confessing the word of God. Confessing the word of God. Who you are in Christ. Confessing who you are in Christ. Confessing that you are healed and not afflicted. Chapter 12, Vessels of Dominion Through Faith. We'll just go ahead and start there. He quotes Mark 11 and 23. That's a real verse there that everybody knows. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. David says the word whosoever, that includes you and me. We are called to exercise dominion through the spoken word of faith. And when we exercise dominion in ministry, it is by command as Jesus and his disciples did. You don't mealy mouth around with the devil. You command him. Did you ever notice that when they ministered to others, they didn't ask God to heal, deliver, or provide for them? They commanded these things because they knew that God already guaranteed them to his covenant people. And he's quoting Philippians 4:19, another well-known verse. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. They saw these things as already accomplished at the cross, and God's promises as our authority to minister them, to act on what you already know, to take it out to the public and act on what you know from God. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things. What was it David always said? My friend Ray Taylor said, what does all leave out? And don't leave nothing in. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Somebody tell me what that means. Well, let's just break it down. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things. All. So what's his divine power? Somebody help me here. See, I'm from Arkansas. I need some help. Go ahead, Ben.
Would that be the inherited Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live a holy life?
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit was the power that resurrected the Lord, right? That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. What does that mean? He's called us by his own glory. When we take on Christ, whose nature, character, and ability do we take on? Christ, right? And if we're walking around here like Christ, we ought to be a light like he was and help folks. What was the last thing Jesus told the disciples? What did he tell them? Help me, Jesus. Go ahead, Ben.
Go out and make more disciples?
Yeah, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead. What else? Preach the gospel. All of those great things. And is that what we're doing? You take Jesus out into the world and you start. You find somebody. Listen, are we to bring heaven on earth here? We're supposed to bring heaven from heaven to earth here, right? And if we do that, we walk like Jesus. And we see somebody in need. We go to them and say, what's wrong with you? How would you like to be healed of what you've got? You don't even have to ask them if they're a Christian. You just have to ask them, can I pray for you? They're going to say one or two things. I say, yeah, would you? Or, get out of my face. Not necessarily like that, but a lot of them will. That's all right. You're doing what Jesus wants. Let me tell you something. If you step out in bold faith, and you grab somebody by the hand and let the power of God that's in you go into them to heal them, and they get healed right then. Then you tell them. Tell them, said, if you want to keep that, here's what you have to do. You have to go in and renew your mind with the word of God. Come to Jesus. And he'll keep it for you. That's all you got to do. And then you take the same message I gave to you out to the world as well. You can give them a book or whatever. Got them? Make your own church if you ain't got one. You know, I've heard this often, and it's the truth. If you don't have a church that looks like what you know in the Word of God, go out and witness and get your own root going. That's how you multiply the truth of the gospel. You can't just sit at home and read and study the Word of God and not act on it and believe that everything's okay. You have to act on it. When you act on it, Lord God, you're going to see some stuff that you never thought possible. You step out there and do what Jesus did. Because the same thing that flows through Jesus is flowing through you. He told us that many times. You're a new creature. You ain't the, I'm not the old Malcolm. Ain't no way. I'm not the old Malcolm. Because I've got Jesus in me. When I've got Jesus in me, I've got Jesus in me. I'm a light on the hill. Y'all are too. Everybody here is a light on the hill. And when you run across somebody that needs something, help them. See what happens. You don't even have to see what happens. Y'all know what's happening. I remember the story. In fact, I had it here. Y'all mind if I give you a story about Late? Let me show you something here about John Late. Let me see if I can find it here right quick. Anybody got anything I'd like to say on what we've already talked about? Okay, here it is. This is cool. I love this story here because it tells you one thing. There was a man that came to Dr. Lake's, came into his office one day, and Lake was sitting in his desk, and the man came in on crutches. The man walked in, he said this. He said, I'm a good Catholic, and I don't want anything that's going to hurt my religion. I don't have faith in man. I don't have faith in doctors. I don't even have faith in God. What can you do for me? How many of you said, well, you ain't going to get nothing. You come around here with no faith. No. That's not what he did. Lake said, he just laughed and he pushed himself back from his desk and said, that's all right, fella. I've got enough faith for both of us. And got up, walked over next to the man that had the crutch, stood there and talked with him. He said, I've never prayed for the man. I let the spirit of life flow from me to him to drive out the sickness and disease. And while he stood there talking to the man, having shaken his hand and holding him by the arm as they talked, he eventually took the man's crutch away from him. And the man didn't even notice he had taken it. Lake finished by shaking the man's arm and said, well, you go and have a good day, sir. The man turned, walked out without his crutch, and didn't even notice that he had been healed. When he got outside in the office in the hallway, Lake hollered at him and said, hey, do you want this crutch? And the man turned back towards Lake and seeing the crutch, he said, all the hell with it. Lake said, I agree. And Lake put the crutch down. The man walked out healed. You know, that's probably the most accurate use of hell that I've ever seen. Don't you imagine? Glory to God. So reason I told you that, you don't have to have, somebody doesn't have to have faith to be healed as long as you've got faith. As long as your faith is up to where you know that when you touch somebody and you pray for them, they're going to be healed. And it's not your faith, folks. It's the faith that you have in God. It's your trust in God that's going to do it because you know that God's power is going through you to them. When I first started out in this thing in the healing ministry many years ago, I didn't know anything about having faith or anything like that for them. I just prayed for them and God would heal them. And it's, you know, when I got into learning about healing from different ministers that I found out that they believed in hindrances. But if you read the story of Jesus, How many of you know Jesus didn't have a hindrance? Well, he had two hindrances, he said, that people had. You know what it was? What did he always talk to the disciples about? Doubt and unbelief and traditions of men. That's the only two hindrances he had. And that was not because of the people they prayed for. It was them, the disciples, that had doubt and unbelief. It wasn't the people. Yeah, Ben. Go ahead, brother.
So I see what you're saying, that we can have faith for them. I totally agree with that. But it also says, I forget exactly where, Jesus went back to his hometown and he said he could not do these miracles there. Why does it say that?
He said he didn't do many works there. The people never came to him for healing, but those that did got healed. Read it. That's what it says. Those that came to him got healed. Those that didn't come to him didn't get healed. That's a big one there. And another one. Well, let's go on in the book. I don't want to put too much on you right now, but that's one of them. They say you got to be saved to be healed. I've heard a lot of people said that you have to be saved to be healed. I don't know how many people I've seen and prayed for that wasn't saved, didn't know Jesus from Adam's law. And God healed them. And then I have to tell them, if you want to keep this healing, you have to come to the Lord. That's your choice. That's your choice. And that's how you get them into the kingdom. Come on. Well, how do I do that? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. And that's who healed you. It was Jesus that healed you. And if you come to him and learn about him, he said, repent and believe and believe. That's what he said, wasn't it? Shake your head yes or no. Make sure y'all are listening. Okay. Has anybody got any questions about what I've already gone through here? Don't believe unless you can prove it by scripture, what everybody tells you. I know Hagin has a lot of good healings, but there's some things that he has that are not true in the Word of God as far as faith goes in healing. He's a great faith guy. I love him. I mean, I learned a lot from him. I've heard people say, what about Jesus saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you? Well, who was he talking to? Listen, who was he talking to? Somebody raise your hand and tell me who he was talking to. Yeah, Barbara.
Unbelievers?
No, I mean specifically.
Oh, I don't have the answer. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
He was talking to a Roman centurion.
Yes, unbeliever.
Yeah, he had no covenant with God.
He had no covenant with God, but what did he do?
He went to go see Jesus because he knew he was some sort of holy person.
Yeah, but after Jesus told him, he said, go home. Your son is healed. What did he do? He acted in faith. He went to the house. He said, okay, my son's healed. Glory to God. He took off to the house and found out that his son got healed at the same time. And there was one other instance there. What was it?
Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman.
Yep.
She wasn't a covenant person either.
Nope.
She heard about Jesus being a holy man too, and
yeah, because she tried, she believed him.
Yeah, I would think that these are one of the first two people to be saved, or some of them when it came to the Gentiles. No, I don't know if the other guy was Cornelius, but it'd be more glory to God if it was a different centurion, and this Cornelius was another centurion in the book of Acts. Anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, Will.
I was just thinking, wasn't that guy lying that walked into, was it John Lake, hey, that walked in? And wasn't he lying? Because why would he have gone there if he wasn't expecting a little bit of something, you know? He must have had some little bit of faith. I think then John T. Lake's faith took over. But he was there expecting something, or maybe just hoping to get something there. Maybe he heard something. It's like he was lying. He was lying. He had some faith. He had some hope that something was going to go.
He wasn't a covenant person. It was the point that I was making.
I don't think he had a lot of faith, but there was a drop of some hope that something.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he took off back to the house, didn't he? Because he knew Jesus had done something for him. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's go on. What else? Anybody else? The Lord still reigns through those who have renewed their minds with the Word of God. When you renew your mind with the Word of God, when you stay in the Word of God on whatever it is that you want to, you're looking for, if it's for healing or whatever, you go in there and you look and you see what God says about healing, and you'll start bringing down those strongholds that people have told you about, that's the reason you're not getting your healing. That break down and it'll go away. And you'll start seeing, well, bless God, the Word says that by His stripes I'm healed. Then bless God, I am healed. And start confessing it. I put on the blog the other day a lot of confessions to confess the Word of God daily, 3 times a day for 10 minutes at a time, in order to get people to realize that the Word of God is powerful. When you confess it with your mouth. And I heard a preacher was talking about this one day. He was saying that you take this like going to the doctor and he's prescribing, taking medicine 3 times a day. And he said, just do it for 10 minutes a day. And he said, I guarantee, and I do too, I guarantee you it'll work. Confess the Word of God. Daily, 3 times a day, and more if possible. Because what you're doing, you're breaking down the old strongholds that we got in our mind against our healing. Well, I just don't know if God even hears me. That ain't what the Word of God says. All right, let's go on here. The Lord still reigns through those who have renewed their minds with the Word. Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with the blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, that they reign upon the earth. Before the judgment seals of the tribulation are opened, the saints of God are said to be reigning on earth. Ooh, Lord of God, that's us. Be reigning on earth. We have the authority to reign as Jesus reigned because he lives in us through the word that we put in our heart. And the more of his word we accept, the more he, Lord, can move, can live through us because he is the word. He says they reign upon the earth. Jesus gave us an example of the dominion that the Son of God could manifest through the Son of Man. He gave us an example of what man was sent to do with God's word and spirit in him. Then he equipped the early disciples with these and sent them out to repeat this process. Mark 28:19. Great. And this is the one you ought to memorize. Go ye. Who does ye leave out? As Mr. Ray Taylor used to say. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. David says the apostles were to make disciples and give them the same authority and commands that they had received. And in turn, those disciples were to do the same right on down to us. We all should have received from our teachers the same authority, commands, and gifts given to the first disciples. What happened? The apostate religious traditions of men happened. Obedience to Jesus' command would have made a geometric progression from this day to his day to our day that would have shaken the world. Jesus said that he would be with the disciples in this endeavor unto the end of the world. And since the first disciples were not around that long, he obviously was talking to us also. All right, has anybody got any questions on this or any comments on what David was just talking about there? Just what we've talked about here. We are to do this. Make more disciples. You could come on here and listen and talk but our job individually is to make more disciples. Not to just listen all the time, not to just sit around and think you're doing the whole thing, but giving out the gospel. Healing the sick, setting people free. Then what were they commanded so that we can know what we are commanded? Jesus commanded us to walk in his steps. Look at Job 20:21. No, that's John. It's got to be John. Not Job. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Okay, Jesus sent us. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. We have received the same authority as Jesus. And the early disciples, Jesus and the early disciples, to do the same work. John 14:12. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Those who believe will be vessels of God's sovereign dominion in the earth. We have to obey all these commands that Jesus gave them. The Great Commission has been passed on to us from the Lord. It's a direct command of the Lord. when we make disciples, we must also pass on the command to do these things. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He didn't say just in the Christian nation. Go to the Muslim. Go to the Hindu. Go to wherever. David says again, this could not have been spoken to only the first disciples because they neither went into the entire world nor preached to the whole creation. Disciples will finish this work in our day. And please notice that in the following verse, Jesus is telling his apostle how to identify those who believe their gospel. Verse 16 of Mark 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. Okay, believers have signs, David says right there. But Jesus said it. These signs shall accompany them that believe. He says, in my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He doesn't say maybe. He said sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. It's just according to God's will. No, he said they shall recover. Anybody got any questions? It's hard to argue with the word of God. It is. It's hard to argue. These signs were not spoken of the first disciples, but of those who came after and believed their gospel. So the doctrine that all these signs passed away with the apostles is clearly a lie that has made many of God's people powerless. How many people sat in a dead church for 40 years thinking that they're doing what God wants them to do, but never learning anything? I suggest to you that most of them think that they're going to heaven to do whatever it is because they sat up in there and listened to that apostate preacher tell them that everything's okay. Once saved, always saved. That's the reason the tribulation is coming to shake his people out of those apostate churches. David says, so the doctrine that all these signs passed away with the apostles is clearly a lie that has made many of God's people powerless. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days, grievous times shall come. For men shall be, and then it skips up to verse 5, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. What's the power thereof? How many churches out there don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'd venture to say most of them. A lot of them. Too many of them. Okay. David goes on, denying the power from those also, from these also turn away. They need to be a turning away from. We are commanded to leave the powerless, unscriptural religious institution of men. I know y'all don't do this. I know you don't go up there, but you got people that do. I've got family members who still go to an apostate dead church. It's big, but it's apostate. They believe in once saved, always saved. They believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. They believe in all these lies of the enemy. Now, David goes on. This is a good point too. He says, some think that these things only happen for people with gifts of healing or miracles of faith. Jesus said, now who's our standard? It's Jesus. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt, he shall have it. That's in everybody. Whosoever commands without doubt shall have it. This obviously includes every believer in the true gospel. The apostle, the brand new believer has the same power that Jesus had. And when he finds that out, and David talks about a guy. Remember this? Y'all remember the guy that went in there and started, was going to go after the demons and wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit? Demons jumped on him and kicked him out of a glass door, front door, broke the flap door. And he would holler, get these demons off of him, get these demons off of him. And a kid, brand new believer, came up and commanded them demons to go from him. And they went from brand new believer. And he went from him. That's us. We got that same power as God Almighty. We got the same power. Praise God. Whosoever commands without doubt shall have it. This obviously includes every believer in the true gospel. The Apostle Paul said that he preached in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, even unto that word there, Illyricum, I guess, I don't know, Illyricum, something like that. Illyricum. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, Romans 15 and 19. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. Fully preaching the gospel is demonstrating its power to deliver from the curse. The world is tired of hearing that Jesus saves. They want to see it. Some think that these things only happen for the super mature saints. How many of you believe that? Man, I'll tell you what. I've seen brand new Christians go out there and start laying hands on people and get seeing them healed, delivered, and set free. And it's awesome to watch them come back with a testimony a mile long. Glory to God. Maturity is to become as a child, simply accepting the word of our Father. Young faith is powerful. Yes, it is. I used to love to get kids to come up and pray for somebody. Because they just come up and say, yeah, bless God, I can do it. Go up there and put their hands on them. They're healed. Because they know Jesus is going to do it. Because they've heard that in one. Psalms 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength. Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Amen. God uses the spoken words of babes to steal his enemies and ours. Both spiritual and physical, little children with a little knowledge will see signs and wonders and put the principalities and powers in their place. I remember a young lady, very young in the Lord. I hadn't been here long at all. And another little girl had come in. I was just, bless her heart, she was just hard, had a lot of demons because of home life. And she come to live with her grandma. But anyways, she would put her hands on that child. Now, she wasn't much more than, I think she was like about 10 or 11 years old. And she put her hand on that little baby, commanded him to go like a warrior. Boy, I'm telling you, I said, you go, girl. And that little girl was stripped of those demons. Stripped of them. And she wasn't born 4 or 5 years old herself. God is good, isn't he? He shows us, if we just look at things, God will show us, look, you don't have to be old in the Lord. You just have to know the Lord. You don't have to have the gifts of the Spirit in order to operate in healing and deliverance and all of those things. For signs and wonders. You don't have to. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you have? The gifts of the Spirit. They're available to you. All you have to do is exercise your right to them. That's it. Exercise your right to them. Thank you, Lord, that I have gifts of tongues and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. I know when I go out walking, I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I know you're going to give me the interpretation when I get back, and I'll be able to write it down. Bless God, and I'll know what you're saying to me. And guess what? You'll do it if you believe it. All right, let's go on here. Both spiritual and physical little children, that's right, with a little knowledge, will see signs and wonders and put the principalities and powers in their place. Jesus told his grown disciples, except ye turn and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Only the childlike and will enter and partake of the kingdom. But what's the kingdom? Kingdom is where God's will is perfectly done. There's no curse. Lord of God, y'all see what we're going into here? We're fixing to go into these things. As we grasp what it is to walk like Jesus. Matthew 6:10 says this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so as in heaven on earth. So on earth, he uses our prayers to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what I was talking about a while ago. We're ambassadors of Christ, aren't we? So we want to show everybody the great things about heaven. That's who we're ambassadors for, is Christ. And if you're showing everybody about heaven, you show them every good thing that they need. If they need deliverance, then bless God, you give them deliverance and show them, hey, this is what kingdom of heaven is all about. You see them delivered, go on. Tell them about the kingdom of heaven. That was the kingdom of heaven. That's what happens when you're a part of the kingdom. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be bringing that down here because we are ambassadors. You know, has any of you ever seen an embassy? I remember the embassy in Morocco when I was over there in the Navy back in the 60s. Beautiful. Beautiful. They were represented the United States of America. And it was a beautiful place, in a place that was just a bunch of junk around it. But boy, there it was, standing out there. Big, fine, opulent place, because they were showing what it's like to be an American. And that's what God wants us to do here on earth. Show the people what it's like to be a Christian, a real Christian. Not someone that says it in name only. Where'd I leave off? Oh, okay. Here we are. Thank you, Susan. Believers have signs. I guess I'm on 195. Somebody help me. I forgot where I was. 195. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. There is, he uses our prayers to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. There is no curse in heaven. How many of you know there's no sickness in heaven? There ain't no illness in heaven. There ain't no crazy people up in heaven. So this lie about, well, it's not God's will to heal. Well, if it's not God's will to heal, there ought to be sickness in heaven, right? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. It's not God's will to heal. Are you kidding me? Did Jesus ever turn anybody down? No, he didn't. I'll answer it for you. Yeah, somebody shook your head. No, he did not turn anybody down. And as we go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. David says the Greek near is that is near. Heal the sick, a command here. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Being near those who exercise dominion over the curse, we are near the kingdom. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20 says, but if I by the finger of God cast out demon, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Absolutely. Having been delivered from the court curse, the kingdom has come upon us. And we can partake of the kingdom, passing it on to others who believe. Praise God. What I'm trying to do tonight is give out what God wants us to do. He wants us to not only learn about the Word of God, he wants us to act on the Word of God. What do you think would happen if you knew that you, when you put your hands on somebody, they was going to get healed? You try to find every, you don't want nobody to die. You want to put your hands on everybody comes around that you see needs healing. Glory to God. When you see, you can't see anybody healed unless you go out there and look for them and ask them, can I pray for you? I had one old lady. I never will forget this. She was so happy, real happy. I mean, she was just elated. I saw her coming down. We was out at the county fairground. I never will forget this old lady. I said, how are you doing, mama? She said, and that's what I do. I just get out there and get down with them. And she said, well, I said, what's wrong with you? How long have you been? You've been in that wheelchair. Oh, gosh, she said, I've been here, see, it's been years. I said, you ready to come out of that wheelchair? Oh, yes, I am. Boy, she perked up then. I said, well, then come out in the name of Jesus. And she stood right up, surprised me, too. She stood right up. I kind of helped her, pulled her up a little bit. I said, come on, mama, get up, man. You're here in Jesus' name. I command this spirit of infirmity off of you, and you're healed. She got up, and she pushed her daughter around in that wheelchair the rest of the day around that county fairground. Telling everybody, God healed me. The doctors couldn't heal me. Bless God, God can. And she pushed her daughter around there, and her daughter was having a ball, too. Or you could go to... You can, you know, if somebody calls and say, man, I hear you have a gift of healing. Not me. You know, God just does it for everybody that wants it. That are his. But yeah, what do you need? Well, my daughter or my son, just newborn, was born with this, that, or the other. Would you come pray for me? How many of you would love to give that child back to mom and daddy completely healed? That it'd be a normal baby from that time on. I've seen that happen numerous times. I had a nurse try to kick me out of a children's hospital there in Little Rock one time. But mamas wouldn't let her. They wouldn't let her. Nurse Ratchet had to sit down and watch me while I prayed for every one of their children that was up there in the where the kids play, you know. Come play for mine. What's your name? I said, don't make any difference. What do you need? And I prayed for their child. And the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. I worked all the way through it. And Nurse Ratchet had to sit over and watch with a face that looked like she didn't know what to do. But God did. And I believe that every one of them that I prayed for was healed. I don't know. I never did hear anything. But I'll bet you I cleaned out, or the Lord cleaned out that playroom that day. All right, let's go on here. And it wasn't me, it was God. It wasn't me at all, it was God. I couldn't heal a gnat without God. And I knew that. And I'll tell you something I did when I got outside after I did leave there. I went around the hospital outside, went around it a couple of times praying in the spirit. I just felt led to do it. That's what I did. God wants us to show him to everybody. He does. He wants us to show him to everybody. Okay, let's see here. There's no curse in heaven. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Being near those who exercise dominion over the curse, we are near the kingdom. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Let me tell you something about casting out demons. I learned this many years ago when I got out of it. I got to thinking that I had to pray more, pray more. Keep praying. Get that demon out of there. Me and David was praying for a little girl. And we pray for him. Said, come out of that in the name of Jesus. I said, all right, did you feel it leave? No, it's still there because I felt it go back down. And so we pray again. What, did you feel it come out then? No, didn't feel it. It did the same thing. It come up, then it went right back down. So we did that, I don't know, half a dozen times. Finally, David got kind of all right. He said, I'll tell you what, we're going to command it one more time. We're going to leave because it was late. It's time for us to go to bed. And so we did. We cast it out. We cast it out one more time. All right, we're going to bed. That's been done. It's gone. I don't care what that demon said. It's gone. So we got up. We walked out of the front room on the porch and didn't even hit the steps before that girl come out there and said, it's gone. It's gone. Praise God forevermore. So that taught me a real lesson right then. Just go ahead and believe that you have cast that thing out and it is gone. It is gone. Glory to God. Yeah. That taught me a lesson. I knew it before, but I had gotten into self-works. You know how you do sometimes. You cast that demon out and believe it's gone, and it'll go. I tell you, we had a session here a couple of years ago, if y'all remember, where everybody went through deliverance. And what was interesting about that, very interesting, some of them would get delivered instantly. It might be as they were going down the driveway that they got delivered. Or it might be a couple of hours later. They call and say, well, that thing left me. Praise God. Or it might be a day later Some of them, even a week later, got delivered. But they got delivered because we kept believing. Well, don't worry about it. It's gone. It's gone. Bless God, it's gone. And that's what you do when you endure in your faith. You just keep on believing. That devil, you ain't bothering me. You're gone. Because they cast you out. I'm believing. And then you just go to praising God and thanking God. That's what we tell them. You just praise God and thank God it's gone. And when they do that, it's gone. Same way with sickness. Is anybody getting anything out of it? Is this okay? Okay. Okay, I'm going to start right here again. I think this is where I am. Some think it's. Oh, yeah. Some think that these things only happen for people with gifts of healing. I think I went over that.
Once my wife believed or something there.
Oh, okay. Once my wife complained.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of you know sometimes wives complain? No, I didn't say that. I'm going to leave that alone. Once my wife complained to me that the washer had stopped working. I turned to my children and told them to go lay their hands on it and commanded to run, praise God, the kids. They obeyed with childlike faith and immediately it started. Several times while driving in a rainstorm, I told them to point their fingers at the sky and command the rain to stop. Children are not proud and they don't mind looking foolish to others. That's why the Lord says to be like, have that childlike faith. Don't worry about what people think, you know. I command that rain to get out of here in the name of Jesus, and the next thing you know, you'll have the rest of your day sanctified. They commanded. God honored their faith and the rain stopped, sometimes immediately. Praise God. All right, Ben, go ahead.
I got a funny little testimony to add about weather.
Okay.
So, well, everyone knows Karen. She's from Colombia. She doesn't have a lot of experience with snow. She's up here in Canada. So this winter, it was around December. There wasn't a lot of snow. Praise God. And then she said, Ben, it doesn't look very wintry here. And I'm like, yeah, it hasn't really snowed that much. She said, we should pray for snow. I'm like, okay, we'll pray for snow. And we prayed. And then 10 minutes later, it started snowing.
Praise God. Yeah, what'd she say? God.
She said, oh my gosh, it actually snowed. Praise God.
Amen.
And then I asked her the same thing 4 weeks later when it was full of snow. And I was like, do you want to pray for more?
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for
God.
Proving the kingdom of heaven can come down here. Go ahead, Andrew.
Now the children were taking me out for a walk. You know, they sometimes take me for walks, and it's just out in the woods. You know, we go through the woods. We did this twice this year, and on nice days. But as soon as we got home, sometimes God just takes care of the weather for you. We got home and it started raining on both those occasions, and that was pretty cool too. That God would take care of your day, so it would be nice for this walk with my son and daughter. And, that was wonderful. Praise God.
Amen. I'll tell you what happened to me, Andrew, the other day. I was walking over at Fort Loudoun, and I had about a half a mile to go, and there was a big old dark cloud with thunder and lightning come up on me, and I called somebody, and I said, pray with me, believe with me, real quick. I said, believe with me that it ain't going to rain on me one drop until I hit the truck. And just as soon as I stepped into the truck, It opened up. Praise God. God is so good. He is an awesome God. I'll have to tell you this, though. One day, it hadn't been that long ago. It was last summer, I think. Last fall. It was cold. I was walking over at Fort Loudoun, and I was about a mile. About a mile from the truck. And I was sitting, I wasn't paying a bit of attention. I was listening to something on the thing there. And this big cloud came up and it started raining. And I said, Lord, please let it lift. Get it up. I had to walk all the way, run all the way to the truck and pouring down rain. I was soaked to the skin all the way through. Don't ask me why, but I was. So I had to repent. I said, I don't care what I did, Lord. I just want to, next time I don't want to be caught out. What I didn't do, I remember now. I didn't pray before I got on my walk. But it did. I got soaking wet. I said, no, it ain't going to happen again. All right. Yeah, yeah, probably so, Will. Yeah, them cold Canadians are always throwing that cold weather down here on us. David said, when we first moved to Florida, my children found a squirrel in the road with a broken back. They came to me wanting to keep it and take care of it. Oh, no. I told them that we were not going to mess with that squirrel. They should just go command it to be here. They did, and it ran up a tree. Praise God. That's awesome. A couple of years later, they did the same thing for another squirrel that had fallen from an oak tree in our yard. They prayed for Mary and me many times with power. David said, one hot day I got the mower out to cut the grass. I pulled and pulled, trying to start it until I was sweating profusely. Then I checked the spark and found none. And I didn't feel up to looking for the problem, so I called my boys over to agree with me. We commanded the mower to run, and I don't know if that mower ever got any spark, but it ran. That's awesome. That's awesome. We've done that too. Once when I noticed a lone shoe on my front porch, I called the children together to scold them. I said, I've told you not to leave your shoes on the porch because a dog will pack one of them off. How many of you know he's already declared that to happen? And the other one won't be worth anything. Well, I realized later that I got exactly what I had loosed with my tongue. The children and I scoured the yard and the neighbor's yard with no success. I said, let's pray and agree that God will put it in that dog to bring the shoe back. Children always have faith so easily. So we joined hands and agreed. The next day, we were looking out of the picture window, and what do you think we saw? A stray dog came across the yard with that shoe in his mouth and dropped it right in front of the porch. Hallelujah. Teach your children simple faith and don't let any theologians around them. Amen. That's awesome. That's the kind of faith God wants us to have anytime we go out. In spite of our own failures and weaknesses, we should receive this authority from our Lord like little children. And by the grace of God, I have commanded eyes restored, bones mended, cancer's gone, disease is gone, bleeding stopped, blood pressure normal, demons out, dead resurrected, and those in comas to come out, water pumps to stop leaking, alternators to have new bearings, smoking engines to stop using oil, hurricanes to stop or change directions, property protected, storms to stop and back up, moles to get out of my yard, mole crickets to die, gas in my tank, engines to start, to name a few. None of the above was without witnesses. Yet it was not I, but Christ. Amen. Living in me, not I, but Christ living in me through the word. God has not left us without help. We have left him without help. He desires to use us as vessels to do his work. Philippians 4:13. I can do all in him that strengthens me. I can do all things in him that strengthens me. God wants us to command and not doubt. David says, I was preaching in a mission church in Pensacola, and a girl came forward and was saved. She indicated that she had a problem and wanted to talk. She was distraught because she had just killed her unborn baby. A man of another race, who was an acquaintance of her husband's, had raped her. She was afraid that her husband would find out and get in trouble. 3 days before this time, she had been at the health unit where they had tested her with a heart monitor, a sonogram, and a sample of the fluid. They declared the baby to be dead and scheduled her to get a DNC. As she was talking, I became impressed to ask her if there was anyone she had not forgiven. She shared that there was a doctor that she thought purposely aborted one of her babies. I said to her, well, since you've just done the same thing, don't you think you'd better forgive him? She agreed. And so I suggested she pray for him, which she did. And I asked her if she wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And after a brief teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she agreed, and we prayed. Although she was a very quiet girl, when she got filled, she was exuberant and rejoicing. And the next thing that came to my mind and out of my mouth was, I believe the Lord wants to resurrect your baby. When I said that, the pastor who was sitting next to me, his secretary, a deacon, and a few other ladies left the room. And I paid no attention by it, but continued. I asked Mary to put her hand on the girl's tummy, and we commanded the spirit of life to come back into that baby. I then instructed the girl how to walk by faith and left the room. A door opened as I was walking down the hall, and a pastor coaxed me inside where I saw the others who had left the room. He said, David, God's not going to do that for her. And I said, why not? She said, she killed that baby. And then David said, I don't think you understand grace. That is a new creature in there, and she's not guilty of what that old man did. Besides, if I want to believe it, why try to destroy my faith? Just let me believe it. Then I left the room. The girl stayed in the mission that night, but she called me the next day. She told me that she wanted to go to the health unit, but no one wanted to take her. I told her I'd be glad to. On the way to the health unit, I reminded her to obey Jesus in Mark 11:24, and to believe that she had received what we prayed for. I also told her not to accept what people who walk by sight say. She was very simple, and all this was new to her, but she respected the words. At the clinic, they reproved her for not getting the DMC and told her she was endangering herself. She told the doctor that she wanted them to check the baby again. He agreed and sent her into another room with a technician. He put the sonogram and the heart monitor on her. He saw no signs of life, and the baby had not moved for 4 days. He told her, he said, ma'am, you have got to have a DMC because your baby is dead. She said, I just don't accept that. And when she said that, the heart monitor began to register a beat. Glory to God. And the baby moved energetically. Glory, hallelujah. The sonogram showed the baby alive. That unbelieving technician said, that's a miracle. He said, now, I don't know what God did, but she gave birth a few months later to a beautiful baby boy who was obviously her husband's. Since she still had not told her husband about the rape, this was an answer to our prayers. This newborn Christian did not walk by sight, but faith. And God confirmed his word with a wonder. Praise God. And when I tell this story, I get choked up. He does. And can hardly finish because of the awesome grace of God. I can imagine. Isn't that awesome? God is so awesome. Glory to God. Here's a condensed version of a Bible study we had on the effect imagination has on our faith. Real faith is acted upon by the whole man. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is fruitless for the heart to believe and the body to not react, or for the body to act and the heart to not believe. The part of man that God designed to effectually connect the heart of the man with his action is the imagination. Our imagination should be renewed so that faith may have unhindered flow through us. Evil imagination must be cast down if we want to win our battle with the flesh and the devil and to do the works of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down imagination must be replaced with biblical ones. For instance, 2 Corinthians 3:18. How many of you know David says this all the time? He says it around here too. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transforming in the same image from glory to glory. Glory to God. Yes. Notice that this renewed imagination of seeing Jesus in the mirror completes our faith, enabling us to come into his image and to do his works. This is the same faithful imagination that Paul had, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Glory to God. We are to believe, imagine, and confess that Jesus lives in us. Jesus said that if we believe, we will do his works and greater. John 14:12. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Glory to God. Anybody got any questions? If we have what Christ had when he walked on earth, and more, actually, we have more than what Christ had when he walked here on earth. We got everything Christ had. Then what stops us from expanding the kingdom? Yeah, Ben, go ahead, brother.
We bear his image to do his works. But then how do we know we start to cross that line from doing his works and we start to just try and do our own works to do it? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how can we tell the difference? It's like, oh, well, I got to go to my cross. But like, how do I know that I'm not doing this by legality or if I'm doing this by grace?
Doing what?
I don't know. I can't really think of an example, but like going to my cross, like I know I'm not supposed to look to be persecuted, but how do I know that it's not going to be like by my own will that I'm going to go do something? Like how would I know it's like I got to go to that person and do a healing on them? Like, should I just go and do that for everyone that's in a wheelchair? Or...
Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, he didn't choose the ones that he wanted to. What did he say? He said, I have compassion upon them. He had compassion to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the leper. He had compassion. If you look, he says it a number of times. And what you ask for and you pray for is compassion to do what God wants you to do in the Word of God. You don't have to be led by the Spirit. You're already led by the Spirit, by the Word of God. The Word of God commands you to go out and do this. It's up to us to go ahead and do it. Act on what God wants you to, what you've learned in the Word of God. And believe that Christ is living in you. And when you believe that Christ is living in you, you know that when you lay your hands on somebody, that God's powers of healing is going to go into it. You just believe that. Remember, he talked about imagination. Just believe that they're healed. And they'll be healed. I guarantee you. We've seen it too many times here. We've seen it too many times here in this outreach. People being healed. Lots of times. No, that's a command. That's what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say be led by the Spirit to go after. He said go do it. A lot of people want to tell you that, well, you need to be led by the Spirit. Where does it say that? He wants you to be led by the Spirit all the time. He wants you to listen for God all the time through the Spirit of God. That's what, you know, that's the great thing about the angels here this last time. They said the angels told us that you'll be listening to God. The bride will be so close to one another that they'll be listening to God the whole time. And not only that, Ben, I said, your brother or your sister might need your help, and you'll hear them in the Spirit that they need help, and you'll know things like that. Isn't that awesome? We'll be walking like Jesus with that compassion that he had. That compassion is love that he had for everybody. He even had love for the Pharisees and Sadducees. And that love is key. That's the key thing right there. You get that. You ask God to give you his heart. You'll do it. And that's the love that he wants us to show everybody. We're not to have favorites on. Because he taught us that. He said, when a rich man comes in here, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then put him in a special place, and then you put the poor guy coming in down at your feet. And then they said, you don't do that. It's God in us that he wants to see. And, well, there's a lot. Hey, we're out of time. Good gracious. Did y'all enjoy it tonight? I liked it. I like reading this stuff and talking about it. I wish y'all would interact a little bit more, but my goodness, I had a good time. Yeah, Missy.
I need some prayer because I struggled the whole time, like being tired, like here lately. Like out of nowhere, it seems like I fatigue or tiredness hits me, and distracting thoughts and just distractions, and I've repented of giving in to any distractions and stuff like that. And it hit me earlier. I was sitting here. It's just like I felt like the Lord said, "It's an attack. It's not, you know. It's just I'm being attacked by the enemy."
Yep.
You know. And so, I'd like some prayer. I've been fighting it and battling it, but I need some help. I need some agreement.
All right. Y'all gonna believe with us? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Missy to you. I command these distractions from the witchcraft curses that are spoken against her to cease your activity right now against her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for a hedge of protection around her that they can't involve themselves with anymore in Missy's having any distractions. She's not going to have any more distractions. She's going to seek you with all her heart. She's gonna, whatever you want her to do, Lord, lead her and guide her into those things. And she won't have any problems. And I thank you, Father, for letting her get into that special place with you, Lord, without any distractions whatsoever. And not only that, when she wants to go all afternoon with you, Lord, let it happen. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for breaking off the power of the enemy that tries to distract her from you, Lord. I know how that works. They try everything in the world to try to keep you out of the closet. In Jesus' name. But it ain't going to happen because you are more powerful than they are. And I thank you, Father, that the angels round about Missy are going to keep her locked in on you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, I believe it.
I command these attacks of tiredness out of nowhere to go. And
amen.
And keeping me from being able to focus and concentrate in Jesus' name. It's not mine. I don't receive it. And I'm delivered in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that when the tiredness comes on it, that you would override it with your supernatural energy.
Amen.
That she'll be bouncing off the walls with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful gift of faith that you have given each one of us. You've given us all this gift of faith. And I thank you, Father, for locking us in on the faith and believing that we don't make any difference what's wrong with them. We go pray for them. And when we pray for them, we know it is done. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord. Not only that, we'll be able to strike up a great conversation and bring them into the kingdom, Father. And I thank you for that. Lord, place it in our hearts to be a good disciple of yours. And a good disciple makes other disciples. It makes other disciples. It makes other disciples. Just like you wanted done at the first church. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father God, and I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Well, I love y'all, and I will see y'all next time. Glory be to God.